I have a six-year-old at home, and amongst his many, I'm going to say enthusiasms, but I could just as easily say obsessions, none of them come close to his desire to draw a map. Wherever he goes, a map from the house to the school, a map through the house, a map of what the school looks like, the beach, everything, all with big kind of barely legible messages about what's around what corner and big crosses where the treasure hides. There's a kind of obsession that we all have with maps and ways to see the world that we live in. And my next guest, a visual artist, is a collector of hand-drawn maps. His name is Chris Harzynski, and he joins us via Skype from Pennsylvania. Chris, when did you start collecting maps?
I first started collecting maps when I realized I had kind of accidentally collected a few of them, and I was going through some old papers and was setting things aside, throwing most of that away, but then I found like three of these maps that my friends had drawn for me over the years, and I really enjoyed them and wanted to share them, and also kind of thought that with Google Maps and things, maybe they were something that people weren't doing quite as much of anymore. So I set up the website and, you know, found out that actually there's a lot of people who still have these things and draw them for each other. And so I just started, you know, a way to sort of collect them together.
That hand-drawn quality is the thing that drew you to it, and the thing that I'm really interested in, because it goes beyond kind of great cartography, beautiful kind of precise measurements of distance. It becomes kind of resolutely personal. Those first ones you pulled out from friends, what were their directions to?
One, for example, was how to get to their wedding. So it was a map to my friend's, you know, wedding site, and then where the event was going to be afterwards, you know, how to get from one place to the other, you know, things to see in the town while I was there, right? So like that has this real sort of story that starts to reveal itself, certainly in a personal way.
So what can you tell about a person from the way they draw a map?
To me, the most interesting thing is what they choose to share in the map, right? The sites. I think it can be interesting to see different ways that people choose to represent things. Like, how do you represent a stoplight, right? Or an intersection? I mean, there's so many different ways of doing that. And I think that those symbols can be really quite fascinating as well.
So why do you think they're enjoying a bit of a resurgence right now? Because this is, you know, as you say, the rise of Google Maps and things means that there's less reason to hand-draw directions to your wedding, but they seem to be everywhere. Why is that?
A part of me thinks that it might have to do with the fact that, you know, the map that I use every day, for example, is Google Maps, and it looks the same no matter where I go, right? If I'm in Philadelphia where I live, or I go traveling, you know, the street names change, but the aesthetics of that map still look exactly the same. So, you know, maybe it's just a desire to see the world through different eyes, right? Or through more sort of idiosyncratic interpretations.
So as a collector, tell me about some of the favorites that you've got in your collection.
Well, I personally really like the first few maps that I had. One of them was one that has a very specific memory to me that I collected on a trip with my father in Scotland. I took it out of the garbage and, you know, just sort of recognized it. It was a map of the United States, and someone was trying to draw all of the different states from memory, and they got them fairly close, but there's quite a few mistakes, and I think that those mistakes are kind of interesting.
So it's not about precision at all?
No, it's not about precision, right? It's about, I think, with that kind of map, for example, it's about, you know, getting the kind of overall idea and still communicating some sort of location or story or something.
Some people have absolutely no kind of visual aptitude, though, you know, no skill with graphics. Does that matter, or do some of the maps you collect have qualities that transcend whether the illustrations and graphics are any good at all?
Oh, I do not think that it needs to be about necessarily one's illustrative talent. A lot of the maps in my collection are things that I think people probably would have thrown away. You know, quick direction maps from one place to another, but they kept them for some reason, right? The same way reason that I kept the ones that I had. And so, no, I don't really think that the aesthetic matters that much. I think it's just what comes across it through the imagery.
Thank you so much for that, Chris. I've been speaking with hand-drawn map collector Chris Harzynski. We'll have a link to Chris's website, the Hand-Drawn Map Association, up on the Blueprint for Living program page, along with some great examples. But now to someone making a living out of drawing maps. Jenny Sparks is a UK-based graphic designer, and she sells her incredibly detailed maps of some of the world's major cities online. She was included in a Guardian list of the top 10 hand-drawn maps, and Jenny joins us now via Skype. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for joining us. How did you get into the hand-drawn map lark?
I started making hand-drawn maps in like 2012. I'd sort of just moved to London and I'd just graduated from uni studying illustration. And it was actually kind of a weird sort of coincidence that it happened, because I'd never really drawn a map before, but I was commissioned by a company called evermade.com, because it was 2012. There was sort of the London Olympics coming up, and there was also like the Queen's Jubilee. Basically, they asked me to make a kind of a more cultural map of London than a geographical one.
So is more cultural than geographical code for it doesn't have to be accurate?
Yes, totally. I mean, even though I do try to make things as accurate as possible geographically, obviously you can't really pick up one of my maps and use it to really navigate around. It's more of an art piece than a Google Maps style thing.
Which is the charm of it. Are there elements, though, that you feel that you have to get vaguely right? I mean, what about something like scale? Does that contort what you're able to do? Or do you throw that out the window once you get going?
It's more like, so I pick out the main landmarks of a city first. So, you know, like in London, we've got like Big Ben, got Houses of Parliament, the Shard. When you're walking around London, you can kind of look up and see those things, and that gives you a way to navigate. So I usually pick out the landmarks first, and they are usually like larger on my maps than, say, like a bar or a restaurant or something. So, yeah, I mean, I give them more prominence, but only because of the fact that they are sort of more well-known and important for local people.
For those who haven't seen your maps, they're incredibly kind of intricate and dense in terms of detail. So kind of a...
Thank you.
This is going to be... Well, you've just thanked me, and now you're going to be less grateful at the comparison. Kind of Where's Wally-esque? Is that a reasonable...
No. Yeah, no. I mean, people have compared it to sort of Where's Wally style things before, but I think people like them because you buy the map and then you have it on your wall, and it's a piece of art that you kind of don't really stop discovering things with, because it's so detailed that you can have it for a few months and then you'll see something that you never saw before.
I was interested to read on your website, you mentioned that when you're asked to do the one of London, you were explicitly asked to subvert the idea of a traditional tourist map. But what do you think they meant by that? What did you take that to mean?
That's actually why I got so excited about the project, because London's a massive, you know, it's a well-known tourist city, and I get so many tourists every year. And, you know, obviously you've got like the main landmarks that people go to, like, you know, Big Ben and like Buckingham Palace and stuff like that. But for me, like, my favorite part about traveling anywhere, to be honest, is finding out those bits and bobs that are kind of more local, and then you really kind of understand what the city or the place is about. And I think that's why I really enjoyed making the London map, because it was not just sort of North London, which is actually where most of the landmarks are and the tourist spots are, but it was sort of South London as well, which is, it was kind of more aimed towards locals as well as anybody that likes London. But I think I wanted to make it kind of a celebration of London as like a thriving city that people genuinely live their lives in. So I think that's what attracted me to it.
How long does it take you to do a map of a city? I mean, let's use the London one as an example still. How long did that take?
That one took me, so initially it's like usually about a 1 to 2 month period of just research. And I really like researching things. So, I mean, I literally just go through books and watch documentaries, go on the internet.
Do you need to go to the city?
Well, it's much better if I do, because there's like certain things that you can't really pick up on just online or just in a book. You know, especially when I did like a map of Paris, where obviously it's like in another language. So, I'll just make up like spellings that are wrong that need to be checked by locals. And also, you know, there's certain things that, you know, you never, even like living in London for like 4 years, there's certain things that I'm still discovering. So you kind of need to have that local knowledge. So I usually go to visit the city after I've kind of done my research process. And then I come back to London and kind of collate the information. And overall, it takes about 3 to 4 months in total for me to go from like research to fully finished and edited and all drawn and everything and laid out. So yeah, it's quite lengthy and they're quite long days as well.
So even if you abandon geographical accuracy, this is not something for the amateur kind of cartographer to pick up, is it? There's a little more to it than that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn too much.
No, toot away.
I mean, I think I'm quite a thorough person in general, and maybe I'm a little bit on the obsessive side. So, but I was never initially trained as a cartographer, and I've had cartographers sort of ask me how I do things or whatever. But I think part of the reason why they've kind of been, my maps have been quite successful is because of the fact that I am from an illustrator background. So I have a bit more like, I don't know, a bit more fun with it. And I guess maybe because I don't have the constraints of like making it completely geographically accurate, it means that I can kind of inject a bit more personality into it.
I like that you're trying to combine fun and obsessiveness in just the right way. Does it mean that if someone asks you directions for something, you no longer scroll out a little hand-drawn map? You're too meticulous to take it frivolously?
Well, it's actually really bad. Like, I mean, I think, you know, everybody asks me, says like, you know, like now you've drawn the maps, you must know everything about London, you know, you must know where everything is. And actually, like, it's kind of like, you know, when you revise for exam and you pack all the information in and you do the exam, and then like afterwards you kind of like lose a lot of that. I don't think a brain can really store that much information, so I'm actually really bad with directions, which is quite funny.
Perfect. put it all into the work. It's the only way to go.
yeah totally.
It's been absolutely great to talk to you today. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Graphic
designer, great to talk to you too.
Graphic designer Jenny Sparks. Links to her hand-drawn maps are up on the Blueprint for Living program page, and we would love photos of your hand-drawn maps to go on our Facebook page. You're going to be up against our kids. Obviously, we're pretty biased, so you're not going to win, but feel free to kind of throw in your best shot. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN with me, Michael Williams.